Welcome to the Cowie Baptist Church podcast. To learn more about Cowie, including our gathering times, visit us online at cowie.church. Enjoy the message.
Morning, church. Morning. So grateful to be here with you all. So grateful for our worship team leading us in this time of worship through song, and as we enter into a time of worship through the reading of the word, I'm grateful. Overwhelmed by God's goodness and his grace and his truth, and just grateful to be here with you all. My name is Pastor Chris. I'm one of the pastors here. If it's your first time with us, welcome. We're glad that you're here. Grateful for your time and your presence. But please come back when Pastor Jason's here as well. So please do. But just grateful for Pastor Jason and his leadership. He's entering into a time of sabbatical, so he's got a few weeks away with his family, and I cannot think of anyone more deserving than he, just so tirelessly pouring out his life day in and day out, continuing to shepherd us and the staff, and just continuing to remind us that we are called to smell like the sheep, not to be a CEO, but a shepherd of the flock that God has entrusted us with. And he does such a good job, maybe too good of a job at times. And so I'm asking you to pray for Pastor Jason as I am, just for a time of really just resetting, a time of refreshing, a time of just being ministered in this time of respite and this time of need. And I can't think of anyone more fitting for that. So if you'll pray with me as just Jason's away for a little bit. We're excited for just what the Lord is doing in this church, in this body, and we had the blessing of celebrating 15 baptisms last Sunday, and just grateful for what the Lord is doing and continuing to do. And like Clark mentioned, we'll go back again at the end of August. I believe it's the 25th of August. And so if that's your next step of obedience, if you've never taken that step of obedience in baptism, we would love to connect with you. We'd love to hear your story and how God is working in your life. And we'd love to just come alongside of you. But that'll be at the end of August. It'll be our next baptism, and we'll do that at the river. On August 11th, we'll be launching a third service, which will be in between our 8:45 service and our 11 o'clock. And 11 o'clock, we'll just push back just a little bit. So it'll be 11:15. But we'll have a 8:45, a 9:45, and then 11:15 service. And Pastor Jason is recorded a little message, so we're going to listen to him for just a second.
Hey, church. Pastor Jason here. I am currently away with my family on sabbatical, and I want to just say thank you to the church for just gifting us with this time, time that I can spend with the Lord and with my family, and super grateful just to pastor the greatest people that I've ever known. I love you all so much. I'm also just very excited as we look ahead toward August 11th as we launch our third service. It's going to be a great time, and I believe there's just a people in our community that God desires to be part of this family, even greater than that, to be part of his family. And we know there's 25,000 people that are far from God near us. And so we want to engage on mission. We encourage you to invite and share what God is doing. We also just want to invite you to step into the stream of serving. We understand that it takes all of us as the body of Christ to accomplish what needs to happen in order to reach our community. And so if you're not serving somewhere, we want to invite you to jump in. Maybe you've just been here for a short while. Listen, we don't want you to wait. If you see this is where you're supposed to be, if God's got to be brought you here for a time such as this, and we just want to invite you to jump in the stream. We're praying that we could add somewhere around 30, 40 new volunteers over these next few weeks to engage and serve in host teams and parking lot teams and teams that would work with our children and in security. There are so many ways that you can serve, and we just know that God's assembling the right people to do what he desires to do through his people here at Cowie. So jump in there. You'll hear more about it. Love you all so much, and can't wait to see you in a couple of weeks. God bless.
Amen. Yes. So please be in prayer for that and just for that next service, where God's leading you to jump in the stream, where God has uniquely gifted you with your time, your talents, your treasures, and how you can use that to impact those around us. Like Pastor Jason said, there's statistics would show that somewhere around 25,000 individuals are right here in our home, right here in our community, and they are unchurched or lost. And so what can we do? How can we impact them? And thinking about those statistics, thinking about this season of life that God has us in these moments, thinking about the change that's coming here on August 11th, and talking with Pastor Jason and our staff, we're kind of leaned into a new passage of Scripture. And over the next few weeks, we're going to be in the book of Acts. And so you might be asking, well, where is God leading you to serve? How has God equipped you? You may be a visitor and just kind of trying to figure all this stuff out, and you're wondering, what's God's purpose in your life, for your life? What are you to do? And I believe as we look into the Scriptures today that we'll be able to answer those questions. What has God called us to? What has God called you to do, to be? And really, as I was reading these Scriptures, there was two phrases that really stood out to me. And the two phrases that I want to just kind of to give you from the get-go, Jesus told the disciples, it's not for you to know. And then a little bit later, he says, but you will be. And I want us to think about that, because a lot of times, if you're like me, we like to have everything planned out. It's like, okay, I want to know, what's the plan, what's going on, what am I to do, where am I going? And that way I can pack the right way or plan the right way or kind of get ahead of things. But it's not for us to know, but yet the greater calling is God has called us to be. And so today's message, I titled it, Called to Be. And as we look through the Scriptures, and these Scriptures in Acts, there's some familiar Scriptures, okay? This is probably something that you've heard many sermons on before, or that you've read, and it's a familiar passage, but my challenge for you today is not to look at it in a familiar lens. But I want you to pray and to posture your hearts and ask, God, speak to me today. Speak to me individually today. Because at times I could be in a service or hearing a message, and sometimes my mind is like, oh, they needed to hear that. Oh, so-and-so, I'm so glad they're here. You look around and be like, are they listening? Anybody else ever done that before? Right? Yes. This is a familiar passage, but it's my heart, it's my hope that we look at it in a fresh new way. And for us to ask God honestly and earnestly, God, what do you have for me? Am I fulfilling the calling that you've placed on my life individually? And so it's my heart, it's my prayer that when we look to the Scriptures that we will see, that we will see that we are called to be God's people, proclaiming his gospel to all people. I'll repeat that. We are called to be God's people, proclaiming his gospel to all people. And so I want to unpack that today as we look through the Scriptures. And we're going to be in Acts chapter 1. And will you please stand for the reading of the word? We're going to pick up in verse 4. But may we be reminded that the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Verse 4. Gathering them together, Jesus, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth. Let us pray. God, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you for your truth. God, we desire to hear from you and not from man. God, I pray that I decrease and you increase. And God, you would make us into the people that you have called us to be. You would give us what we don't have, God, and you would equip us for the work you've called us to. We thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for what you've done. And we thank you, God, for your promises. Help us to stay out of the way, God. Help us to posture our hearts, God, to be open to receive what you have for us, to be strengthened and empowered to do what you have called us to do, so that others would see you, would glorify you, and be transformed and changed by you. We love you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. You may be seated. And so the book of Acts is a historical narrative. And so with historical narratives, we know that not everything is prescriptive. Not everything is a prescript for us to apply specifically to our individual lives. A lot of it is descriptive, as history is. But I believe we can look to the scriptures today, and there's some truths that are universal truths for all believers in Jesus Christ. That every single one of us, if we've been born again, that God has uniquely called us to something special. And most importantly, to himself. And there's a calling in our life, and we're called to be a specific individual, right? We're called to be unique in the unique relationship that we have with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And there's some markers, there's some descriptive truths of who we are called to be. And so I want us to look through the scriptures to see that God has called us to be, and then who has God called us to be, or what has God called us to be. And I want us to look, and I want us to remember that there is a mission that God has equipped, that God has called the church to participate in. The mission existed before the church, and therefore it's the church, right? It's the church that has been called, has existed, the church exists for the mission, not the other way around. And so we see that the mission is first, and then later we have seen that the church has been birthed. And so as we look to see who we are called to be, the first thing I want us to see in the first three verses is that Jesus has called us to be kingdom focused. And so our desire, I believe what God has called us to be individually is to be focused on God's kingdom. But the problem is, just like we looked at last week, is that we're pretty selfish in nature. We're pretty us-focused and our kingdom-focused. And so the hurdle that we must understand and we must get over, we must see, or we must die to, is that hurdle of being self-centered, as Pastor Jason shared last week. Self-centered and self-serving. And the third one, self-preserving, right? We must be careful, right, to not act in accordance to our kingdom, to build our kingdom, for our will to be done, but we pray as Jesus Christ prayed in the garden, right? Jesus gave us the perfect example of what it looked like to be kingdom focused. And he prayed in the garden, Father, not my will be done, but yours be done. He understood, right? He even asked and asked for this cup of suffering to pass, but yet he was surrendered and submitted to the will of God. And so the church exists to serve King Jesus and his kingdom. And so if we are called to be kingdom focused is the first thing I want us to see. And so what does that look like? Many of us have different hobbies or passions in life, and we spend much of our time working on those hobbies, continuing to be better at those different talents, musical talents or gardening or different things. We spend energy and time and talents and treasures to become better at those things. And so to be kingdom focused is that we take that same amount of passion, those same desires, and we focus it on God's kingdom. What would bring him most glory? What would it look like to use those resources to further God's purpose, God's mission, God's truth, his gospel, his word. And so focusing on God's kingdom and not our own. And I love in verse 1 where it said that there's a little bridge statement that Luke gave us from talking about his first account, which we know as the gospel of Luke, and into the second account, into the Acts. But he said that all that Jesus began to do and teach. And what an important principle for us to be not just people of the word, but also of the mission. Not just to have the word, to know the word, to recite the word, to memorize the word, but that we would do what the word, what God's truth has commanded and called us to do. And so may we be kingdom focused, not self-focused. In the next set of verses, in verse 4 specifically, it says, gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to what?
Wait.
To what?
Wait.
Good. Remember, I work with students, right? To wait. Participation. Good. To wait. Right? He's called us to wait. And that's one of our favorite words, isn't it? Right?
Yeah.
No, it's not. But it's important, right? It's important to wait. What does waiting do? What does waiting show? What is waiting? How does that speak to our hearts, or how does that help us? Well, waiting says that there's something worth waiting for. That there's a promise that's coming. That there's something that is coming to us or for us, and it's for our benefit that we wait. We don't run out there and get it. But we're in such a society, in such a culture, in a world, right, that we have Instacart and Instagram and two-day shipping and one-day shipping and next-day air and all these things, right? We're not good at waiting. But we see here, right, there's a call for the disciples to wait, that there was something good for them. And in the waiting, right, it produces endurance. It produces strength. It produces self-control in the waiting. And so we see that Jesus is telling his disciple to wait. And he said to wait for the promise, right? The promise of the Father. As we read in the scriptures, right, as we continue through those verses, he said that you've heard from me. John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And so he kind of gives them enough of a timeline, right? It says not many days from now. For you to wait. I've got a child who is going to have a birthday in not many days from now, and he's received his first present in the mail from some of the family. And he has promised, hey, if I can just open up this one present, I will wait. I won't do anything. I'll wait until my birthday. And I'm like, you only have one present right now. Like, what do you mean? Like, right? We're not good at waiting. But there is something here, right, that we see that the Father has promised a beautiful gift in being baptized with the Holy Spirit. That they would be baptized not many days from now. And we read in John 14 and 15 and 16, right, that Jesus talked about this, that he told them, it's to your advantage that I leave, because I'm going to send you a helper, right? And this helper is going to help you. He's going to be the Spirit of truth, and he's going to come. He's going to guide you. He's going to be with you. And so there was a great promise in the waiting. And we have great promise in the waiting of his return, right? We have great promise in the waiting with Jesus, but we're not good at waiting. And so we should and be encouraged, right, to be faithful in the waiting. But the second point I want us to see here, and there's a tension between these verses and the next set of verses. So he says, hey, you're going to wait, and you're going to have this helper. You're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, one who's going to help you, who's going to give you wisdom and truth, who's going to be with you concerning these things that I'm talking about. And so they go to verse 6, right? And so they come together and they were asking him, Lord, is it at this time that you are restoring the kingdom of Israel? And so there seems to be a great promise that is given to them, which is rightfully so, encouraging their hearts, kind of posturing their attitudes in a little bit of a better way, because there's a period of 40 days. Jesus is dead. right? Jesus, their leader, their fearless leader who performed all these miracles, was demonstrating his authority. He has died. And so some of them have gone back to fishing. Some of them are like, I don't know what I'm going to do, just trying to figure things out. And so we see this roller coaster of emotions kind of going through, and we have to understand like where they're at. Now, all of a sudden, Jesus is alive. Jesus has appeared to them. Jesus has eaten with them. They've seen the scars. They've touched the scars. They've seen his side. They've touched it. And now they're questioning. Now they're like, okay, Peter got it wrong, right? He shouldn't have rebuked Jesus. Sorry, Jesus. You know, my bad. But hey, this time, now, Jesus has conquered sin. He's conquered death. Now, Jesus. All right, now it's time, right? Now it's time. You're going to overthrow the kingdom, right? You're going to overthrow Rome, and you're going to establish Israel's kingdom again. And naturally, can you see where they would get to this point? All right, so Jesus, he died, but now Jesus, it's like Jesus 2.0, like he's back from the dead. Like he's got the scars to prove it, right? And now they're like, okay, Jesus, now's the time. But he rebukes them again, right? He says, it's not for you to know. He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority. And so he settles them back down. He says, listen. You've got to trust me, right? That it is the Father's authority. Y'all aren't on the planning committee, right? But I'm calling you to obedience. I'm going to equip you. I'm going to empower you. You're going to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. But it's not for you to know the details. It's not for you to know the times or the seasons or the epic. It's not for you to put it on your calendar, but you need to trust me. It's a call to faith. It's a call to trust. And so, one, we're to be kingdom focused. Two, we're to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, that he's not going to leave us. He's not going to send us off on our way in our own power, because we can't. We are no match for Satan. We're no match for our own flesh. But we're going to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. And the call, right, is to be the witnesses. So we're to be empowered. But there's a tension there, because he's like, I'm going to empower you, but yet you're not in control. It's not for you to know. It's not for you to plan. It's not for you to put it on your calendar. But I'm going to empower you, so you need to trust me. Do you see that tension there where he's saying, hey, you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, right? And this Holy Spirit, they would have known. They would have known of the power that and the helper, and how he would be there for them to guide them along the way. And they're like, okay, let's do it. But give us the game plan, Jesus. And he said, no. I will give you the power, the Holy Spirit, right? You will be empowered, but you're not in control. And that's another hurdle for us that we need to understand. That's another part of the fallenness of our flesh, right? It's like us, imagine a sailboat, right? Out in the open water, in the open seas. The wind fills the sails and propels it forward, but the sailor cannot control the wind. He could only adjust the sails and the rudder to navigate. In the same way, being empowered is not about being in control, but it means trusting God's guidance in our life, even when we cannot dictate the circumstances. And so the empowering of the Holy Spirit should mark the life of a believer, right? That we have the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the grave, the scripture would say, lives within us as the body of believers, as individuals. And so we are called to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, right? And also to be called to be about the kingdom of God. What Jesus did, what Jesus taught, should be the things that mark our lives. And in the meat of the scripture, and in the life of the scripture, in verse 8, but you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth. And so he continued to teach them and show them, it's not for you to know, but you are to be. You are to be a people. You'll be my witnesses. And it says that's our third point, is to be faithful witnesses, to be faithful and be ready to share Wherever God has us, wherever we are at, wherever we find ourselves, wherever we work, wherever we play, wherever our home is, wherever our travels are leading us. We are called to be faithful witnesses, ready to speak and to share from the Word of God. We're able to share His truth. So the question today, if someone were to ask you today, hey, can you share the gospel? I know you go to church. I know, can you share the gospel? Are we prepared? Are we ready to clearly articulate the gospel message of Jesus Christ? Could you do that at any moment? Are you prepared? Are you prepared to share your story? Are you prepared to share how Christ has impacted your life? Are you prepared to share who you were before Christ, how Christ has transformed your life, and who you are now in Christ? Are you prepared to do that? Are you willing? Statistics show 25,000 individuals in our area, near to us, are far from God. Either lost and or unchurched. 25,000, that is a heavy number to think about. And how many churches did you pass on the way here? Right? There's a mission. There's a mission that existed before the church, but the church, right, is called to that mission, is created for that mission. And what are we doing? And are we ready? And are we prepared? And do we take that serious to share the hope that we have in Jesus Christ? To share what Jesus has done in my life? Are we prepared? And it starts at home. It starts in the home. It starts in our hearts individually. Dr. Oswald J. Smith, he said it this way: the light that shines the farthest shines the brightest at home. I'll say it again. The light that shines the farthest will shine the brightest at home. What are we doing with our times, our talents, our treasure? Our home, is it a part of who we are? Can we say that? And not just say that, but can people enter our home and see the light of Christ just permeating in our speech, around our dinner tables, with what we watch, with what we do, with how we interact and talk? And the reality is, no, not always, right? And I'll be the first to confess, I had to apologize to my children this week for the way that I acted, because I am imperfect. But it's my desire that I hold the hands of my children, that one day they will hold the hands of the Savior. And so I do need to apologize when I mess up. They need to see that. They need to see love and grace and mercy and forgiveness. And are we faithful to do that? Are we faithfully serving and loving and sharing and testifying of God's goodness and His grace? And so why not? So my encourage to you, right, is to grab the hand of the Savior, to walk closer with Him through the Scriptures, to read of what He taught. And then as we continue to read of what He taught, then we do what He has called us to do. And that's our fourth point: to be missional laborers, to enter into the labor, to start at home with cleaning house, right? To start at home with healthy rhythms and healthy patterns, and let it flow over into our neighborhood and our community, into our workplace, and wherever God has us. But there's a call for us to be kingdom focused, empowered by the Holy Spirit, to be faithful witnesses and to be missional laborers. To enter into the labor. I'm so glad. I'm so thankful for a church that labors so much in a diverse way, from brotherhood to Love in Action to our jail ministry opportunities for the Clarkston, Georgia, that are coming up, to serve in Honduras in the summer, to serve in Central Asia, but continuing to be laborers. But it starts where? If we look at this as a roadmap or a guide for our life, it starts at home in Jerusalem. And then we see in Judea, in Samaria, into the remotest parts of the earth. And if we catch that, it's crossing boundaries. It's crossing geographical boundaries, but it's also crossing other boundaries, like social boundaries, right? To Samaria, where the Samaritans, the half-breeds, those that they didn't want anything to do with, right? And so this gospel message that we have for us to testify and to witness and enter into the labor, it's to reach all, across all boundaries, across all borders, to share and to spread the love of Christ. But it starts individually. It starts in our hearts. It starts in us purposing our lives and posturing our hearts before Christ. And so my last point there is that we are called to be loved. And that really is the first point of all of this. Jesus said that you will be my witnesses. My witnesses, meaning possessive, right? That we are owned. We've been blood bought. That our lives are indebted to Jesus Christ. He is our Lord and our Savior, our King and our Commander. And so we don't call the shots anymore, but we are loved. And so he's not a cruel military or political figure that is commanding and calling us to do all these things. He is a loving Father who has demonstrated what real love is and that we are overwhelmed by his goodness and his grace. That we are overwhelmed by his love because we know who we were before Christ. We understand our sin and our unrighteousness. And we understand how good God is. When we look to the cross and we look to the Savior and we look to the empty tomb and we look to his promises. And so this is where it starts. And my question is for you, have you been overwhelmed by the love of God through salvation in Jesus Christ? Do you know in your heart that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? And if so, we are called to be. That Christ is our DNA. He's the substance and the significance of our existence and our identity. And we focus on his kingdom. We focus on King Jesus, serving him, singing about him, meditating on his word, sharing his word. Walking with him hand in hand, being in his presence. And then just what comes after that is just an overflow of being with Christ, of spending time with Christ, being in his presence. And so we're called to be loved by the Father, empowered by the Spirit, and witnesses of the Son. And as we move into this third service, right? It's a desire that we would see you and individuals take that step of obedience and enter into the labor, enter into opportunities to serve, to open up doors and open up avenues, open up seats so that others would see and know and hear the word of God. That we would go out and invite and call them in and share the love of Christ that we've experienced and call them, right? And invite them and make room for them to be a part of God's kingdom, to be a part of the local expression of the body of the church here at Cowee. But again, we have to remember, we have to understand, we have to identify our common human issues that we're self-centered at times. We're selfish individuals, and so we must die to self. We must die to self, things that we're trying to build our own kingdom and focus our own kingdom. But we need to focus on God, all that he has taught us, all that he has done, all that he has shown us and shows us through his word. We have to take away, we have to let go of the control that we desire to have in our lives. We surrender those things to Christ willingly and gladly. And ask for God to continue to send His Spirit to fill our hearts, to fill our hearts with His Spirit, that He would move us and He would take us and He would show us and make us into the men and the women that He has called us to be. I shared a story a little season back on a Wednesday night. And it was a story when I played some high school football, and it was fourth quarter, and it was like we had made it into the postseason, and we were getting close. We were like this close to state. And I remember fourth quarter, I was a freshman, and I was like, all right, game's over. My focus is on the bus. I start untying my shoes, my cleats. I start unbuckling my gear, and I'm just like, all right, we're going to shake hands, and we're going to load on the bus. And then all of a sudden, my name gets called, and I'm like, what? Like, it's not supposed to happen. like, what are we doing, right? And so I'm scrambling, and I'm trying to run on the field and put all my stuff back together, right? But I feel like we can be like that, knowing it's the fourth quarter, or saying, hey, we've done our time. It's someone else's turn to serve in the nursery or to do this or do that. But as God's people, we have a calling on our life. And may it not be so that we're caught with our shoes untied or we're unbuckled and we're saying, hey, it's someone else's turn. That we're ready no matter when the Lord would call us or when the Spirit would blow on our sails, that we would be ready and prepared to go where He has called us, to speak and pray for those that He has sent us to, or to share the gospel, to share the hope, that we are ready. We're ready in season and out of season, as the scripture says, that we are ready and always prepared to give a defense for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And so what does that look like? The first step, right, to know that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, to be overwhelmed by His love and His salvation. To know that love, to experience that love, because we can't love if we're not loved first. And that's the first love that we should have. That's our first step. If you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, meaning with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your might, you've trusted and believed in Him, that you understand you are a sinner deserving of death, and your sin separates you from God. But there's been a day that you've confessed Him as Lord and Savior, trusting and believing that Jesus Christ, that God raised Him from the dead. Today is the day of salvation if you've never done that. And if you are a believer, if you have repented, if you've turned from your sin and placed your whole weight, your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, then may we remind ourselves, may we ask God to remind us who we are. Their identity is not in the things of this world. It's not in what someone else says about us. It's not in our work. It's not in our last name, but it's in Jesus Christ. It's in a people who have been called, who have been purchased, and we are called to a mission that will glorify God, that will continue to proclaim His gospel to the end of the earth. And so as the band comes, as we go into a time of response, where is God leading you? And maybe He's leading you to connect in a group and an opportunity to serve, and you can fill out a connect card. And you can write on the back of that, you can contact one of our pastors, one of the staff. But there's a unique calling on each and every one of our lives. And it's our desire that we would equip you, that we would point you, that we would help provide opportunity for you to live out that calling that God has on your life. Whether that's being sent on a missionary in foreign lands or here as a missionary in your home. And so I'm going to ask you to stand, and I just want to ask you to be obedient to where God is leading you in your life.